Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Does God exist? Does God really exist? Now, that's a fair question, and maybe that's a question that you have had and maybe have never really answered or been given proof. Millions and perhaps billions of people on this planet do not believe in God. Billions of others do believe in God in one form or another. Usually it's a God of their own making and their own imagination. That's been the history of man. And in a world that is so confused about this subject, how can we be completely sure that God does exist, that there really is a living God, a real God? How can you be sure? It would be foolish, really, for people to just simply assume something like this. It would be foolish to assume that God exists. It would be foolish to assume that God doesn't exist. Is this something that you cannot prove? Is this a subject that you just have to guess at and hope that you're right about? I've heard people say, well, I don't really believe in God, but I'm afraid to say that I don't believe in Him because maybe someday I will meet Him. But look, this is not something that we can just assume or that we can just hope or where we can just guess at it. And God does not expect you to do that either. Now, you do have to put in some time. You have to put in some effort. You may have to do some studying. You have to put in some time in thought and really think this through and not just believe what others who maybe claim to be smarter than you tell you, the higher education elite of this world. But they are just promoting very foolish ideas when they promote things like the theory of evolution, which we'll talk about here as we go on. Now, some reject the idea of God existing because they can't see Him. Is that a rational thing to do? Well, just think about electricity. Electricity is very invisible, like God is, and yet electricity is very powerful, and electricity very much exists. And I think all of us would agree with that statement. So just because God is invisible, it doesn't mean that you can just casually push this aside and ignore the question. Creation without a creator, is that something that even makes sense logically? Can a rational, logical mind come to conclude that there can be a creation without a creator? If you're wearing a watch or if you have a phone that can tell time, the fact that it's keeping time, the fact that you have a watch on or a smartphone that's telling you what time it is, doesn't that demand that there was someone who put it together? Someone who put all the gears and the cogs or the motherboard into it with all of the computer programming? Doesn't that demand that someone put it together, someone created it? Or are we supposed to believe that it just kind of magically came together on its own? Somehow there were gases that banged together, and all of a sudden there was a smartphone. All of a sudden there was a watch. Now, if I told you that you have a watch on your arm or that you have a phone in your pocket that can tell time and do all of these other incredible things, and that it just happened to be there and it wasn't put together, it wasn't created, that no one actually designed it and formulated it and put it together, you would tell me that I was insane, and I would agree with you. That is insane. And yet, science would have us believe in the theory of evolution. Evolution states that living things in our world have come into being through unguided processes, just naturalistic processes, just natural things that happened. You mean like nothing banging into nothing, and it created all of this something. That's what we're supposed to believe. They say the world around us and all of this life, that it started from a primeval mass of particles, subatomic particles and radiation and other things that just collided together billions and billions of years ago. Well, that's ridiculous. That's confusing. You can't prove it. They can't prove it. They've never been able to prove it, and that's why they call it the theory of evolution. It is, in fact, a theory, just a theory. Now, why do they promote this when they can't prove it, when they don't have evidence for it? Well, it's an attempt to get rid of a creator when there is an obvious creation all around us, all around them, those that promote this. And they themselves are part of that creation. They themselves have been created. The incredible brains and the mind power that they have has been created. And they want to somehow explain why there is a creation, how there is a creation without a creator. And when you study into any publication that details the theory of evolution, you'll notice that they have a lot of words in there like maybe, probably, possibly, it appears, perhaps. That's because there's nothing definitive about the theory of evolution. There's nothing authoritative about it. The whole theory is just based on scholarly assumptions. It's based on human reasoning. There are not any facts to prove it. And scientists can give no clear, undeniable proof that life evolved from nothing, or even that life evolved from matter by a natural process. And even if they could do that, which they can't, where did that matter come from to begin with? Evolution is simply Satan's attempt to convince mankind that there is no God. It's Satan's attempt to convince mankind also that he has no future. And that's just simply not true. Evolution offers the darkest, bleakest future anyone could ever hope for. In the 1970s, there was a British astronomer. His name was Sir Frederick Hoyle. He was an avowed evolutionist. He believed in evolution. He believed in what he had been taught by higher education. And he set out to calculate the mathematical probability of the spontaneous origin of life from all of this matter that they say was around, this radiation and these different subatomic particles, as they say, all the things that banged together, the gases and different things that banged together billions of years ago. And he wanted to prove mathematically, what is the probability of this spontaneous origin of life according to the theory of evolution? It reminds me of another man, I forget his name now, another scientist who studied into all of this. And he came to the conclusion that the probability of evolution being true, it's as probable as putting a bomb under a print shop and blowing it up, and all of the pieces of that print shop would fall back down in the form of a dictionary. How many of you believe? How many evolutionists, how many in higher education that teach evolution every day, how many of them believe that if you put a bomb under a print shop, that all the pieces are going to blow up, they're all going to go bang, and they're going to fall back down in the form of a dictionary? How many believe that? Well, no one would believe that. There again, that's what they're asking us to believe in when they ask us to believe in evolution. Now, this British astronomer, Sir Frederick Hoyle, he was an evolutionist, and he wanted to calculate the mathematical probability of the spontaneous origin of life. So he applied the laws of chemistry, mathematics, thermodynamics. He calculated all of the different odds of spontaneous generation just to get to the simplest form of life on Earth. I won't go into all the details, but what he came two is that there was one chance in 10 to the 40,000th power. One chance in 10 to the 40,000th power. He wrote this: the likelihood of the formation of life from inanimate matter And again, even at that, where did the inanimate matter come from? You see, evolutionists never, ever answer that question. Where did the gases come from? Where did the inanimate matter come from that banged together? Well, they never answer that. But even giving them the benefit of the doubt on saying, okay, inanimate matter existed, he said, quote, "The likelihood of the formation of life from inanimate matter is one to a number with 40,000 zeros after it." And then he concluded that this is enough to bury Darwin and the whole theory of evolution. That was what his conclusion was, and he was a believer and a promoter of the evolutionary theory, but just trying to look at it logically, he had to come to the conclusion that, well, you just have to bury the whole theory of evolution and everything that Darwin and these other evolutionists have taught. Evolutionists, geneticists, biologists, scientists in any field whatsoever, they've never been able to demonstrate nor offer the slightest evidence that living can come into existence from non-living. There was another scientist, he was a professor of biology at Harvard, and he said this, quote, "One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet we are as a result, I believe, of spontaneous generation." Now that's a remarkable statement. This man and others like him are so steeped in the theory of evolution that they can't bring themselves to accept the absolutely irrefutable proof of their own scientific research. If you understand what I just read and what he said, he says, well, look, you have to understand that basically spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. He's saying that life cannot come spontaneously from non-life. And yet, he says, we are, as a result, I believe, here because of spontaneous generation. And yet he just said it's impossible. Now, that's foolish. That's foolish at any level. At any level you want to think of, that is foolish.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm. We have two free booklets we'd like to offer you today. They're both at thetrumpet.com. They're both free upon request, or you can read them right at the site. Does God Exist? And Our Awesome Universe Potential? These amazing books will show you more from your Bible about God's existence. How can we prove that? How do we know God exists? Well, the booklet Does God Exist will take you through that topic and show you from your Bible how you can prove God's existence. Our Awesome Universe Potential booklet looks at some of the images from the Hubble Space Telescope and looks at the amazing laws of science that are governing the universe. Where those laws come from and who makes sure that they keep operating. It's an amazing book. Goes in depth into some of the science behind the universe that we see about us. And again, it does point back to intelligent design and an awesome creator God. Request the two free booklets, Does God Exist? And Our Awesome Universe Potential. They're both free, and you can find them at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Hello, everyone. We're back. The word theory means we think. Before the break, we were talking about the theory of evolution, and evolution truly is just something that people think, something that men have thought up in their own minds, and there is no proof of it. And we were talking about that before, but let me just add another thought to this, because as I mentioned before the break, the theory of evolution always begins with matter already in existence, with subatomic particles, gases, different things colliding together, and certain laws being in effect. And evolution, or the theory, the thinking of men about this subject, never does answer where that matter came from or where those laws came from. And as a matter of fact, we can prove, science itself has proven, that matter did not always exist. Physics proves that there was a beginning. Matter occupies space and it has weight. That's a scientific fact. And another scientific fact is that the deterioration of radioactive matter is a scientific fact. Uranium gradually disintegrates into lead, and it is radioactive and gives off energy in the form of radiation. And over the course of many, many years and going through different stages, it does disintegrate. Now, you can study into that some on your own. Those are just facts of science, facts of physics. And this simply means that matter did not always exist. It had to have had a beginning. Right there is just one proof that the theory, the thought of evolution is flawed and it's not true. Another interesting point to think about. Scientists say that there are over 300 laws that govern the universe. Now, I'm quoting a lot of scientists because, look, I'm quoting what they say themselves and using their own laws and their own laws of physics. And we're not against science. There's a lot of great knowledge that comes from science. And a lot of these laws are absolutely irrefutable. And so the scientists just need to look at science and look at the laws of science, the laws of physics, and apply them to this subject that we're talking about. Does God exist? Is there proof that God exists? Or is the theory of evolution, is there any credibility to that? Well, we've got to look at that and prove it. Scientists say that there are over 300 laws that govern the universe and this planet that we live on. Over 300 laws. Where did those laws come from? And if any of those laws weren't in place, we could not have life. Think about that. Think about that. Think about how interdependent we are. I mean, you live in a complex, intricate, interdependent world. And these laws all work together with one another. And it does make you think about, the old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Scientists, they can't answer that question. They cannot answer it. And so what do? Well, they kind of scoff at it and they laugh at it. They make fun of it, trying to attempt to dismiss a question like that because they cannot answer it. Which did come first, the chicken or the egg? What about the bees? And the flowers. Well, bees rely on flowers. Flowers rely on bees. They can't exist without each other. And so much of our world is that way. All of our world is that way. And so which came first? I mean, they say in the evolutionary theory, the process of evolution is this long, slow process over billions of years and millions of years, things slowly change. Well, did the bees develop first or did the flowers? And how did all of that work? Well, you see, evolutionists cannot answer that question. These laws are interdependent, and it's very complex, it's very intricate, and you start saying, well, one wasn't here, and then another one wasn't here, and then this one formed. Well, look, scientists know that that's just a bunch of foolishness. The laws I'm talking about are the laws of gravity, relativity, thermodynamics, absolute zero, which controls temperatures. I mean, you start toying with those laws and you don't have life. There are other laws, chemistry, radiation, geological laws, electrical laws, magnetic laws. Are we supposed to believe that all of that just gradually formed over a period of millions or billions of years independently? Well, that's really just foolishness, and I think anybody that thinks logically about it would have to agree with that. Another law, the law of biogenesis, which simply states life can only come from existing life. Now, there's probably no law more easily demonstrated than this law in science. Never have they been able to take something that's not alive and make something alive from that. Can you get life from a cell phone? I mean, well, that's just foolishness. It's foolish to think that way. As amazing as smartphones are, as amazing as cars are, as amazing as airplanes are, what can they produce? Can they do anything? Are they smarter Are they more intelligent than the human beings that created them? And can you get life from something that is not already alive? All of science, with as much technology and as much scientific knowledge and technological ability as we have, no one has been able to create a seed, stick it in the ground, and make something grow. Now, we see that happen all around us. How did that happen? Are we supposed to believe that nothing banged into nothing and dumb unintelligence somehow created a seed, somehow a seed formed? Well, why aren't more of those types of things happening? You put an acorn in the ground and this mighty oak tree comes from it. Now, if I suggested that a car or a plane or anything that you could build, anything that man can build, that it is superior in intellect than the one who built it, you would call me insane. And I would agree with you. I would be insane. And yet that's, again, I mean, this is the foundation of the belief that God doesn't exist. The idea of something unintelligent being able to create something with superior intellect than the one who built it, well, that's really exactly what the theory of evolution demands that we believe, that some dumb, purposeless unintelligence accidentally brought all of this life, all of this order, all of this structure, all of this law into existence. Now, frankly, that is an insult to my intelligence, and it should be an insult to yours as well. Now, others might say, okay, then, you have pointed out some holes in the theory of evolution, but what about God? Well, we're supposed to believe in God. Where did he come from? How did he begin? That, again, is a fair question, but look, we're talking about the spirit world when we start talking about God. We don't understand all of the details in that spirit world, and that spirit world is not governed by these physical laws that we're talking about here. What we do know, what we do understand the physical laws that govern the physical, material universe. The things that we do know proves evolution to be a big lie. And yet, here we are. We are alive. We are conscious. The world around us is here, and it's all governed by these laws of physics, chemistry, biology, geology, everything else that we've been talking about. Now, the spirit world is not governed by that, and we don't know every detail about that. But Isaiah 57 says God inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. He's not restrained by time. He created time. As a matter of fact, time is governed by the physical universe and the rotation of the planets and all of that. God created that. The Bible also talks about God having no beginning. Well, your mind and my mind, our minds are limited, and we don't, again, understand all of that. We may struggle to wrap our minds around that, to fully grasp that concept, but we can comprehend living forever. We can comprehend going on forward in time. Now, it's harder to think in terms of going backward in time because everything we've ever known does have a beginning. And yet, here we are, alive, conscious. The world around us is here, governed by all these laws, all the laws of physics and chemistry and biology and others. There is only one answer to that, and that is the existence of an all-knowing, all-wise, supremely intelligent creator. So creation is a definite proof of God's existence. There are other proofs as well. Fulfilled prophecy is a proof, which we don't have time to get into today, but we can get into it in future programs. Archaeology proves the Bible to be true as well. Science proves the Bible to be true. Many things that are written in the Bible are now confirmed by science, and for centuries and millennia, people didn't know, and yet it was written about thousands of years ago in the Bible. Answered prayer is another proof of God's existence, but most people haven't had prayers answered because that requires faith and it does require obedience. But nevertheless, answered prayer does prove God's existence as well. But creation proves God's existence. That's what we've been talking about here and focusing on that compared to the theory of evolution. Let me just conclude today's program with a few verses from the Bible. Romans 1 in verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen." The invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When you look at this physical universe, the incredible celestial bodies and the stars, and then you look at this, the seeds and the plants and the animals, and even your own body, your own life, your own mind. Well, clearly we can see the invisible things of God from that creation that is seen physically. We can those invisible things of God can be seen by looking at the physical. And it does leave us without excuse. Frankly, it leaves us without excuse. These people who study the universe, people who study the laws of physics, all of us who can look at creation, we are without excuse if we go on saying that there is no God. Verse 21, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." People who reject God's existence, well, they can profess themselves to be wise, and in fact, they are just becoming fools and showing themselves to be fools. Now, that's just a matter of fact. Psalm 14 and verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that do good. The Eternal looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. But they're all gone aside. They're altogether become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." Very similar to what we just read over in Romans 1. Mankind doing evil, mankind rejecting God, not being thankful, not glorifying God, and so they just become fools. And the fools say in their heart, well, there is no God, and there's a reason for that. But they're without excuse, as Romans 1 says. Look at the physical creation, and you are without excuse. Look at all of those laws that govern this physical creation, and you are without excuse. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." They do. They declare the glory of God. "Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge." Indeed, you look at this universe, and you will see the incredible knowledge of God. "There is no speech," verse 3, "nor language where their voice is not heard." There's no speech. There's no language. There's no nation that cannot hear this voice. It doesn't matter what language you speak. You can look up at the universe. You can look at the creation, and you can see the glory of God. "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hidden from the heat thereof." Indeed, nothing hidden from the heat of the sun. Creation indeed demands a creator. Law demands a lawgiver. Life demands a life giver. Design demands a designer. A watch demands a watchmaker. We have a book here that we want to give you. Does God Exist is the title. Written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and I want to read to you just a little bit out of the conclusion of this. He talks about a watch, and when a watch doesn't keep perfect time, well, you have to go and you try to get the right time from the Western Union office, or you try to get the right time from the Naval Observatory, and if the Naval Observatory master clock gets off, well, where do they go to find out what the right time is? Well, they look up in the heavens. They look up at the great master clock that never makes a mistake. It's always on time. Now, if that clock at the Naval Observatory, the master clock of the United States, is so perfect, and yet it gets off, it's so wonderful, well, someone made it, and yet it gets off. And they have to look at another clock, the universe, where the heavens declare God's glory, the glory of God and the incredible knowledge of God. Well, who created that master clock of the universe? Good question. It's a good question. And I'll just read you the last, a couple of paragraphs here on the last page of this book, Does God Exist?, that we want to give you for free. And Mr. Armstrong writes, "But then you, Mr. Skeptic, you look up into the great vast sky at that master clock of the universe, which never misses a second, the perfect watch by which we must constantly set all of our imperfect man-made watches, and you tell me that all of that just happened? That there was no great watchmaker? No mastermind thought out and planned that vast universe, brought it into being, set each star and planet in its own exact place, and started the myriad heavenly bodies coursing through space, each in its prescribed orbit, in its orderly precision? No, it just fashioned itself, put itself together, wound itself up, and started itself running. There was no intelligence, no planning, no creation, no God. Do you say that to me?" In the last paragraph, Mr. Armstrong writes, "If you can look about you and observe how intelligently planned and executed is everything in nature and in plant and animal life, everything we see except the bungling, botching, polluting of God's beautiful handiwork by the clumsy hand of God ignoring and rejecting man, and then say you doubt the existence of an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Creator God, then I do not have much faith either in your rational processes or your sincerity as a seeker of the truth. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word."
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.